In this lesson, I want to look at a familiar story, a couple of people from Bible times. Sometimes when we see people in the Bible, we see someone mentioned and we think, what were these people thinking? Didn't they know better? But sometimes when we look closer, we often find a lesson for ourselves. I'm going to start in Acts 5, verses 1 to 11. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard it. The young men got up and covered him, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, Yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. We wonder, what were they thinking? All they had to do is not say they gave it all. Well, their sin was lying to God. It was under their control. We think, I'd never do such a thing. I'd never say I gave it all when I hadn't. Then maybe a little bit later we find ourselves singing, All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I surrender all. And we ask ourselves, are we being honest with God? Have we really given all? And that's what this lesson is about, giving it all to God. We'll, in fact, one of the scriptures will be one we covered in class tonight. Because our answer isn't as simple as Ananias and Sapphira. We don't have the option of keeping back part and just being honest about it. God does want us to give all to him. An example of some who gave all is in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 to 5. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the spirit of the saints, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The all we need to be careful of giving is ourselves. And all is what's required. Remember what Jesus said when he talked about the greatest commandment, Matthew 22, verses 35 to 38. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. All of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. How much of ourselves are we expected to give? The answer is clear. It's all. Another way to think about it is the verse we covered in class, Romans 12:1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We need to realize that we have given ourselves as living sacrifices. A sacrifice, once it is given, no longer belongs to the giver. He's given up control over it. If he holds back control over the sacrifice, he hasn't really given it at all. Said another way, in Matthew 6:33, But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We need to seek God first. In the context, he's reminding us not to be worried about lesser things like what we'll eat or what we'll wear. God knows what we need, and he will take care of us. We need to trust him, but we do need to put him first. We need to be careful in our attitudes. Remember, from this past Sunday's lesson, a couple of issues we discussed. Forsaking the assembly and the type of clothes we wear. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves asking, do I have to do this? Can't I do that? But in fact, whenever we're doing something like that, what we're really saying is, can't I keep control of this area? I don't want to give it up. I want to hold it back. And that's where we started this lesson. There are dangers in holding back part. We have to give it all. We are reminded that being a Christian is a serious issue. Luke 14:27-33. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. We need to be careful to count the cost. It is not something we should take lightly, but it is something we should do. The verse reminds us of the consequence of not doing it, Matthew 16:26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We all face a decision. Are we going to live for ourselves or die to ourselves? Romans 6:1-7 puts it this way. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through the baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. He phrases it several ways here about giving ourselves completely to God. He says that we have died to our old self. He says that the body of sin is done away with, no longer slaves to sin, and finally, he who has died is freed from sin. Think of it. How tempted is a dead person to sin? Not much. And we should be that dead to sin. And after that dying, he says the next thing is a burial and baptism, to walk in newness of life. If we can help you in any way with serving Christ, would you come while we stand and sing?